It was, boy, we just, it's just, we just praise the Lord a lot. Man, just amazing songs. Worthy is the Lamb. We got to remember this, especially in our teaching today. Worthy is the Lamb. I mean, there is nothing and nobody more worthy than the Lamb. And then taking a look from the Lamb to God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That was just really, really, really excellent praise to God and worship of God. And if I hadn't spent so much time on this week, I'd just dismiss us now. But no such luck. So I'm coming in second to the praise today. But I think what I want to do is really concentrate on that. I thank this little light ministry for coming today. I know they presented a lot of needs to what they have there. But I want to tell you something. I've been there, my family's been there, a lot of you guys have been there, and I've never heard anybody say that it's not a valuable ministry in that part of the world. And just incredible. I'd love for you to go there. I really think that you ought to get signed up and ask God if you can take off to go down and take a vacation. It's worth a vacation week. It really is. It'll just change your life a little bit, and you'll probably have more in your suitcase than the people that they work with own in their house. To go down for a day. And that's really eye-opening, but really, really good ministry to get involved in. And we feel like they just need someone to come behind them and really give them a little bit of boost. And America has piles of money that we don't know what to do with. And especially when you get 300 or 400 people all together putting in some. So it would be really cool to be able to do that. And you know, this church has a great reputation for giving. I'm looking forward to seeing what God brings in through you guys. And I know the elders are going to come in behind with some of the money that we put. What did you do? Oh, I knocked that over. Ooh, thank you. Sheesh. She takes care of me so I don't knock stuff over. She picks out my clothes in the morning, everything. Cool. I'm glad I'm married. It is awesome. Anyway, let's move on. I'm going to pray today, because I'm going to move us farther. We're going to talk about. It's going to be a really simple message. Last week I tried to talk about 8 different things all in one message. This week we're talking about one thing, and so we're going to slow down. Talk about one thing, hugely important, but we don't often talk about it. Please ask God to speak to you this morning. So I'll give you just a moment of silence. If He hasn't already, ask God to speak to you. We walked into the presence of God through our praise and worship. Now we're standing boldly in the throne room of God. Let's look to God and say, God, please feed me a little bit this morning. Let me leave here a little bit different than I came. Okay, so let's pray just for a minute. Lord Jesus, I know that this week you spoke to me and had me focus on an area that I don't often focus on. And I thank you that you did that. Lord, I pray that I may be different because of that. And I pray that you might help this, that your word might be communicated clearly, that your Holy Spirit speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, on your notes, I think I have a little 1 to 10 scale there, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10. Okay, so get that out and look at it. I really like you to look at it because I'd like you to remember this, okay? Look at that little scale. I know you can picture a scale of 1 to 10, but look at someone else's. If you have one, get it in front of you. You can mark it. You don't have to. At least put your finger on it, you know. Don't look at anybody else's paper where their priorities are, right? But look at yours. And so I got to ask you a few questions on a scale of 1 to 10. All right, before we get into that, you know, we've been talking about qualities God's looking for in people that He can use. God's looking for people who are holy. God's looking for surrendered people. God's looking for believing people, living by faith and salvation, faith for salvation, faith for living. God's looking for people with a proper perspective of living for eternity more than we're living for now. You know, really looking ahead, looking around those problems and looking that way. God's looking for people who are persistent. We talked about people. People that keep on going. Not like me in 10th grade in French class, okay? Had French class in 9th grade. Okay, I did really good because our teacher only told World War II stories because he was in France, and so he barely taught us anything. I learned "we" and anyway, different things, but I can't think of anything else I learned in French 1. Went to French 2. I lasted 1 week and said, this is ridiculous, I don't know anything, I quit. All right. So I only went to the beginning of French 1. You know, I quit. That's not the kind of people God's looking for. That when they run into a little bit of trouble, they bail out on God. God's looking for people that are persistent, that keep on going despite the difficulties, despite all these things. Okay? Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So don't give up. Okay, now on a scale of 1 to 10, that was review. On a scale of 1 to 10, okay, get ready to put your finger somewhere or mark. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love? Now we'll make 10 the highest, obviously, okay? How much do you love ice cream? On a scale of 1 to 10, put your finger on it, okay? How much do you love ice cream? Doesn't matter what flavor, how much you love ice cream. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love cake or cupcakes? I want to see some fingers going on there. I mean, how much do you love them? Great. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love snakes? Snakes of any length, all right? How much do you love snakes? You got your finger on there? You got that in your mind? All right, okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love meat? All my boys went toomp right to 10 right there. I might even be adding an 11 on right now, all right? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love tofu? Yeah, there might be a zero. Okay, you're right. All right. On a scale of 1, you're putting your finger there. Okay, good. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love action movies? All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love romance movies? Guys are going, oh, right. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love sports? Playing or watching, doesn't matter. Okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or your spouse? Now, they might be looking, so you know where your finger should be, right? Okay. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, last one, how much do you love stink bugs? We got enough of them in our house, you think we collected them, you know? And it's like, all right, very good. Now, ask you a question on that. How do you determine where in the scale to put that mark? What are some of the criteria for where you put your finger on that? Just give me some criteria, just randomly. What are some criteria? What? How it makes you feel. Okay, excellent. Any? What else? How it tastes. What else? Just say. Your experience with it the last time you ate a stink bug. On your pizza. I didn't know we got like two. Anyway, what else? Anybody else has any other criteria that you can think of? Good, it's not really that important anyway. All right. Okay, so we're looking at how to turn. I wrote some things on like pleasure, you know, your experience with it. Time spent with it. Your priority, you know, which priority is it? You know, love or fear or the choices you've made and things like that. There's all kinds of different ways to figure that out on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, again, on a scale of 1 to 10, get ready to put your finger somewhere and do this kind of discreetly. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love God? Now, think about this for a second. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love God? What criteria do you use for that? Now, don't use because I'm sitting in church criteria, so I obviously have to be above 5, okay? Really, in your head, that's why I don't want you to really mark it. How much do you love God? And what criteria are you using to determine how much you love God? And when I was writing this down, it's like, wow, that's a tough one, you know? I know how much I'm supposed to love God. But I can look at all kinds of different criteria and think, I'm glad you told me that word. I'm using that a lot. I don't know how to spell it, but it sounds like some girl in the cafeteria. No? Criteria? Anyway, no, I'm sorry. This is serious. How much do you love God? Thinking about that. How do I determine where that fits? I know where I'd like to make it. Okay, I really know where I'd like to make it. I know where I should have it. Okay, but I'm trying to stay away from all that kind of stuff. How much do I really love God? And that's what I want to look at today. We're just going to talk about loving God today. And how much do we love God and those kind of things. And I'll tell you something. It's very, very, very important that we talk about this. It's very important that we understand this loving God thing. God is looking, another thing that God is looking for in people we're talking about today, God is looking for loving people. Now, we're going to split this in two. We're only going to do half of it today, the loving God. But God is looking for people who love. He is looking for loving people. All right? And I'll tell you what, it's getting harder and harder to find in today's society, people who love, you know. But God is looking for loving people, and God wants to use people who love God and who love others. Today we're going to be talking about God wants to use people who love God. So it's very important, if you want to be used by God, to determine, do you love God? I mean, do you really love God? Not just do we say we do, but do we? So I want to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10, starting at verse 25. And we're going to take a look at this. And I want to start out with a story. And I think this is really cool. Luke 10, 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. They were always doing this, these experts in the law. Okay, experts in the law are just lawyers. Anyway, but, well, not there's anything wrong with lawyers, but they've got to be experts in the law because we go to them. But on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, he answered a very interesting question. What must I do? And this is an Old Testament, this is New Testament. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? And here's what the expert in the law said. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said, he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went right to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus' response to that, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Now, I got to say, understand something as we go through here. What saves us is acceptance of God's gift, of God's eternal work, or his work on the cross, that he died for us to take our place. So we're not saying love God a lot and you'll go to heaven, don't love God very much and you'll go to hell. That's not what it's based on. But we're talking about believers in Jesus Christ already, that were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. So don't get that confused. But now that you're a believer, if you consider yourself a believer, this is the test to see if we love God. And he says here, and Jesus commends the guy, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's great. That'll get you. That's what Jesus said. This is so important. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Where do you think Jesus thinks the mark in the 1 to 10 scale should be for believers in Christ? Where do you think it should be? 10. It should be 10. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That doesn't leave room for a lot of other stuff. It ought to be up on the upper end of the scale. That's what Jesus says. And you do this and you will live. And I think that the church, our church and other churches, are a little behind on the loving God scale. On the how much do you love God scale. I mean, not where we would put it, we think we should put it. Like, how much time do you spend thinking about loving God? We were just hugely in a service, just the singing service today, was all focused on loving God. But how often do we think about that? How often do we think how important it is to love God? When's the last time you heard a sermon on how much you love God? Shame on all them other preachers out there. I'm one ahead of them today, all right? But I mean, when are we ever challenged to love God? We know we're supposed to, so I think we just take it for granted. We sing we love him, we think we love him, but do we honestly? And now remember, as we're talking about this, God looks at the heart, not at the outside. You understand why I'm talking the outside. Now, I want to take a look for a minute at how God feels about our love for him, how God feels, where he thinks we should be. And you already said that. Okay, so we want to put him on a scale. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm going to get this. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 gives us a really good look at where God thinks he should be on the scale. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. Deuteronomy 5, 6. In the wrong chapter, no wonder it didn't look right. Deuteronomy 5, 6. I'm going to read this to you, all right? I don't know if I have the whole thing up here or not, but I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy 5, 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So who's talking? God himself, not even Jesus. I mean, not that that's lower than God. I mean, they're one. But this is God himself, Lord God Almighty speaking. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, we'll stop right there. You know what this is. This is the Ten Commandments, all right? And what does God say his place should be? We should have no other gods before him. You shall not make for yourself, an image in the form of anything in heaven, okay, or above or on the earth, beneath it, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to... This is all part of the second commandment, okay? This is great because it says you shall not make for yourselves an image. We all say, well, yeah, like the last time I had an idol, you know, and oh, bless you, idol, okay? And, speaking of idols, the next service, there's a good chance Todd and Mary Beth Sowerman will show up. Some of you guys know them from other places. And we're in Thailand, man, there's idols everywhere. There's all kind in a Chinese restaurant the other day. They got little idols and stuff sitting all around and stuff. God says you should not make for yourselves, okay, an image in the form of anything, heaven or... And so we all say, well, that's fine, okay. But it says you should not bow down to them or worship them. You should not bow down to them or worship them. In other words, do you have things above God? Are the things we say, well, I don't bow down and worship idols, but we do, in God's opinion, when we put stuff above giving, when we put pleasing people above God, when we put ourselves over what God requires of us, okay? You should not bow down there and worship. That's bowing down and worshiping them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. God equates putting something more important than him as hating him. And you think that your priorities don't matter? If you have your priorities wrong, and if you have anything more important, anything's more influential to you than what God says, you are cursing your children to the third and fourth generation. If they see you loving stuff more than they love God, they're going to follow that same routine, and God doesn't honor that. This is huge. But showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commands. That's second commandment. Third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And so when you use God's name in vain, God doesn't hold you guiltless, but it even goes a little farther than that. We did this the other Tuesday in men's group. I'm a child of God. I bear the name of Jesus Christ. Bob God. Bob Jesus. Bob... I don't even know what God's last name is, okay? But when I was born into God's family, I was born into his family. I bear the name of God, like my sons bear the name of Kensinger, my daughter bears the name of Kensinger, I bear the name that God has. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so I represent God. Don't you know your body's the temple of the Spirit? Don't you know you're ambassadors of God? I represent God. And when I sin, when I get angry, when I steal, when I get frustrated, when I sin, I misrepresent God's name. When I'm not the kind of husband that God calls me to be, when I'm selfish, I misrepresent God's name. So this goes way deeper than just saying a word out loud that you shouldn't say because it's a bad word. It goes about, and I love the way it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And how many times do we miss? We might not say, you know, GD or something like that. But when I sin and other people see it, and when I'm not living to my full potential for God, I'm misrepresenting my name. I'm born into God's family. We have to be really careful. So, you know, when I look at that, it's like, I don't swear, but I think it's more than just swearing. It's a representation of God's name. Did you ever hear anybody or have anybody say, and you, they said they were a Christian, and look what they do. I had someone call me a couple weeks ago from somebody's neighbor in here. They said, they come to your church and this is the way they live at home. Yeah, I get those complaints sometimes, so be careful, all right? And, you know, they say they're a Christian, they want me to come to your church, but this is how they're living. Misrepresenting, at least in her case, the name of the Lord. You should not misuse. The fourth one, here we go. I'm just going to read this and let it speak for itself because I think it's so plain. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. This can't... 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, which means a rest. It's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor the son nor daughter, your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. But you didn't know the fourth commandment was that long. Or blunt, or non-arguable. We don't talk about that too much in church. Fifth one, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land your Lord God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. We'll talk about that a little bit later. You shall not murder. Anybody have struggles with that? Good thing, because we have officers in the room. All right. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire in your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly. There in the mountain, from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on two stones and gave it to me, Moses said. Understand, commandments do not save us, okay? They're given to us to show us that we're just not living up to 100%. We need God, okay? We can't keep all the commandments. But commandments point to sin or the lack of sin in our life. They do. They're very, very important. They also tell us how God feels about stuff, how God feels about these. So he made these 10 commandments. Now, you know there's the 11th commandment? There's the 11th commandment, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6, is the 11th commandment, okay? We always hear about the 10 commandments, all right? But there's a whole lot more commandments than that, so I want to move to the 11th one again, and I love this. This is how God feels about where he should be on the how much you love God chart, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so, God, that's the 11th commandment, all right? That's what that Pharisee, that teacher of the law, was quoting back there. This is what God says. God Almighty is giving us these commandments. And we say, yeah, but that's Old Testament, and things changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now we're in the age of grace, and so we have excuses, and we can, you know, kind of, we can treat it like it's not a commandment. We can treat it like it's a really good suggestion, all right? But listen to what Jesus said. This is, I was going to say this is right from the horse's mouth, but that's not good, Colin. This is right from Jesus' mouth, okay? This is not a quote. This is right from Jesus' mouth. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Two really good sections of verses. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. We know what God says. We read the Ten Commandments. That's what God says. You want to argue with God about that? You want to be picky on some of the points? That's really up to you, okay? I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He says, here's my commandments. But now let's see what goes into the New Testament. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, this is great. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, this is from Jesus' perspective. Out of all the laws that God's given us, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. They were very important. Now, he mentioned the 12th command in there. That's the love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Leviticus 19:8, okay? So we got 12 commands so far. And the last two commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. All the rest of the commandments hang on these things. That's how important love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength is. That's how important that on the scale of 1 to 10, you be on the upper end of that scale. That is highly important. Mark 12 says pretty much the same thing. Okay? And I'm not going to talk about that, but you can see it in your notes. Mark 12, and the guy said the same thing, and Jesus said, you have spoken well, that's the truth. And, oh, I think it's really cool. All the law, all the prophets hang on these two commandments. To love God is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. To love God is more important than coming to church, although it's highly important because here's where we learn. Loving God is more important than doing a ministry somewhere, than feeding the poor, the hungry, than all these things that we see whether we love God, the tests of loving God. But love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. The New Testament talks about that. It wasn't taken away. So how can you really tell if you love God? Here's the test. I'm going to give you a couple of verses that give you the test for how you can honestly tell where you should be in that scale. This is going to take some really interesting self-evaluation here. Okay? This is the test. I'm going to start with Psalm 103, back in the Old Testament, Psalm 103, 17 to 18. Psalm 103, 17, 18. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. Now the word fear is a deep, loving respect. Okay? The Lord's love is with those who have a deep, loving respect, who fear Him and His righteousness with their children's children. And with His children, with those who fear Him and His righteousness with their children's children. With those who, what? Keep His, what? Covenant. And remember to obey, what? His precepts. This is what God's saying important in the Old Testament. This is how we can tell that we love God. We keep His covenant, remembered by His precepts. If that's not clear enough, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, it's so fun. I love when I run into a verse like this because it's like, read it and go home. Okay? It's just hugely clear. We read the commandments because they are the test of where we should put our finger on that 1 to 10 chart. And it was never erased from scriptures. It still is important. Listen to John 14, 15 to 24. And if you love me, what to say? Keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then it says, whoever has my commands and what? Keeps them is the one who loves me. So you want to know if you love God? You have God's commands and you, what? Keep them. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And two, I will love them and show myself to them. Anyone who loves me will, what? Obey my teachings. Now remember, this is not for salvation. This is to answer the question, do you love God? And where in that scale is it? My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. It's almost as if we're stuttering through this passage. Keep my commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And so you really want to know if you love God and where you should be on that scale? Excuse me, where I should be on that scale? We are required to obey the commands of God, even though we're in the age of grace. These are His commands. And I can find, there's piles of other verses. I love piles of other verses that talk about, if you love me, you obey my commands. If you love me, you'll follow my teachings. And we're not talking about just the Ten Commandments. We're called to not speak badly against a person. We're called not to gossip. There's piles of things that God's, His teachings in there, and God says, if you love me, you obey my teachings. But we're only going to look at ten of the ones that we know of to really evaluate our teaching or to really evaluate what we're saying. So how you doing on the obedience shows how much we love God scale. Now, we're going to go through these quickly. I'll just read them again. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, here's how you know where to put your hand, where you put your finger. Are you surrendered to God as the all authority in your life? Or do you evaluate everything He says and say, well, this one doesn't make sense, so I won't do it, and this one does, so I'll do it. Now you'll know where to put your finger. See, this is where hypocrisy exposes itself in Christianity, because we all look like really good Christians, except for the guys that wear flannel shirts. I don't know, I just saw a flannel shirt, I think. But, no, I'm just kidding. We look like Christians, we can dress like Christians, and we can sit and we listen like Christians, we can sing like Christians, but do we love God? And you can evaluate whether you love God just in one area. Am I surrendered in all areas of your life? Because thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means when God asks you to do something, you don't say, well, it doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know if I can afford to do this, and I don't know if I should, and well, maybe, you know, I mean, no. You go through the evaluation process, and you say, well, God asked me to, so I'm going to do it. That's just obedience. The same thing you expect of your children. Do your children love you? How do you know? One area you know is because they obey. Disobedience shows that you don't love the people that are asking you to do things. I mean, it really does, and it does with God, too. Okay, let's go to the second commandment. So where do you fit in there? We're at the average of these. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven or above or on the earth beneath or waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Let me say this. Are you a God pleaser or a people pleaser? Do you care more what people think or what God thinks? It's easy to tell because if you care what God thinks, you do it, even though people might not think it's right. Even though people might not, you might offend people. Are you a people pleaser? If you're a people pleaser, you're lower on the end of that scale. You know, my God pleaser. Do I choose God's will over stuff? If you choose stuff over God's will and what God's asked you to do, then you're low on that scale. I just wrote giving over getting. Are you a giver or a getter? That's a great test of where God is. Hard to be honest with, but that's a great test of where God is. So I'm just telling you. The fourth one, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And it's talking about a Sabbath. I'm not talking about a Sunday. I'm talking about a Sabbath, the day of rest. God worked for 6 days, rested. God, it's you know that it's a commandment to work 6 days and not seven, correct? But I don't know if we can make it. We're trying to figure it out. I'm not going to defend that one. That is a hard one to defend in today's society because society's gone totally past that. I'm just saying you really ought to read that commandment, and that's really going to determine where that finger goes on that chart. And it's not about, it's a day of rest. And I think that goes into, do you take vacations? God is a total advocate of vacations. He set it up all throughout his laws. Time off. You just really need to do that. There's no excuse for not doing that other than I don't agree with God and I need money more than I need obedience to God. And then God says, listen, don't worry about money, okay? I take care of the flowers of the field. I take care of the grass. Work! Because if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, God says. But just trust me. And I tell you what, our world is not telling us to do that. How about honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you? To the young people, you obey. You don't sneak stuff. You just obey. So you can tell how much you love God by how much you love your parents. And if you sneak all kinds of stuff behind your parents' back, you're disobeying God. You don't love God. It's just interesting. You shall not murder. That goes right into hate and bitterness and grudges and prejudices. You have any prejudices? Pine Grove has no prejudices of any kind of people. Especially us outsiders that move in, okay? Everybody tells me it's really, man, Pine Grove people are nice on the surface, but it's hard to be in. I understand that, okay? But prejudices are different than just moving into a community. But do we hate people? We wouldn't say that. Are we holding bitterness against somebody? Do we have a grudge from high school? A grudge from a neighbor? Prejudices? Oh, here's one. You should not commit adultery. Now, you understand that adultery isn't just when you're married to one person having sex with someone else, right? That's not adultery. That's just not the only part here. He says adultery, but you understand this means way past adultery. This means pornography. If you struggle with pornography, don't be careful. Don't get too high up towards 10. Because if you love God, you obey God's commands not to do that kind of stuff. Because that's adultery with your mind. Jesus sets that standard. Okay? Not just adultery. Fornication. What's fornication? Sex before you're married. If you have sex before you're married, your hand has to go the whole way down towards the bottom of that scale. That's an outright command that God speaks of. And so many people say, well, I know what God says, but I'm doing it anyway. I know because I counsel a lot of couples that are getting married. And I know where they're at in that scale. And we spend some time talking about that. So don't say, I love God. And at the same time, you're having sex outside of marriage. It's just Be honest with yourself. This is what God's laws are. Masturbation, sexting, all that kind of stuff is that commandment. And if you're involved in those kind of things, you're way down on that shall not commit adultery scale. You shall not steal, taking that which isn't yours to take, okay? Whether it's from your parents or not, it's just stealing at work or whatever. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbors. You need to be honest. If you gossip, you're using your lips for false testimony. It's sinful. Agreeing with gossip, listening to gossip and saying, and kind of giving agreements because you feel really uncomfortable, but you're listening to it. And by listening to it, you're agreeing with that person. You're participating in that gossip. You say, well, I don't like where this is going. I'm not going to listen to this. Oh, I'm so offended that you said that to me. Tough. Christians should be standing up against that. And we should put people in their place gently and lovingly that are gossiping. Because if you spoke to people about that, I'm not even going to listen to what you're saying now because you crossed the line. I'll bet they're going to be careful the next time. And you're doing them a huge favor. Agreeing with it, listening with gossip, speaking with gossip. Your tongue is in control. This has all to do with the tongue. And then the tenth one, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey. So if you're a farmer, not on someone's Holsteins, okay? I don't know. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That goes into stealing. Really, it boils down to discontentment with what God's given you and your lot in life. Discontentment. You're discontent with what God's given you. Work hard, but be careful with being discontent. Say, I'm happy with what I have. I'm still going to work a little bit harder. That's okay, but discontentment with what you have. Now, with the Ten Commandments quickly explained, see, a lot of us would say, well, I don't break the Ten Commandments. I'm not at a number 10. I wish like crazy I could say, hey, I'll show you my chart. Check it out. Where are you? If you love God, you'll keep His commandments. These are only 10. How you doing in the basic 10? The end of my message, which will come soon, will be like maybe we need to work on that a little bit. Maybe we need to up our average a little bit. Because we want to love God. Because God uses people that He loves. We want to love God. Here, let me ask you another question. And here's another question you might ask. Are there any benefits for loving God? Are there any benefits for loving God? Okay, just that you asked that question shows you must be really messed up. I want you to know that, okay? Because what are you going to love God because I get stuff out of it? I mean, come on, that's like really cheesy, you know? All right, but now that you asked that question, yes, there are benefits. John 15:9-11, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Listen to this, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I've told you this, here's benefits, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be complete. Who doesn't want joy? Now, there's probably a couple of kids in Pine Grove High School that dress and act and make their face not look like they want joy. But they're just fakes. Inside, they really want joy. God says, listen, if you keep my commandments, my love, it'll prove you love me. My love will stay, not love for salvation, but the relationship love. And if you love me and keep my commandments, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. You can have complete joy in obedience to Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:3-6, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. See, I'm not just, this is all over the Bible. If we know we've come to know Him, if we'll keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but doesn't do what He commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. A benefit is our love for God is made complete. As we obey Him, our love for God is made complete. 1 John 3:21-22. Dear friends, if your heart does not condemn us, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask. because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. There are huge benefits in loving God. God did not give us commandments to mess up our life. There are huge benefits for keeping God's commandments. Not so we have bragging rights because I'm a 9 and you're only an 8. I'm probably not a 9, to be honest. That's what I was really convicted this week. When I look at every area of my life, and God loves me anyway, I'm glad. But if it was all about obedience to God, got to obey all these commands. Listen to what 1 John 5:3 says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves the child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. See, it says it again. It feels like I'm stuttering. This is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands, what? Are not burdensome. God's commands are not burdensome. Now, if you're living for the world, yeah, it might seem like, oh, man. But it's like, I don't come home from work and say, Vicky, I almost murdered somebody today. It was so hard not to. Vicky, I almost swore. Almost used God's name in vain. I never get into that habit. I don't have problems with that. It's not burdensome. It is if you're used to it. Then guys say, how do I stop it? Yeah, it's burdensome. But once you, I don't struggle near with pornography like I used to. I could still go there. There's still that desire there a little bit. It's not near like it used to be. It's not a burden anymore. And it was. I don't have trouble stealing anymore. I only stole specifically one piece of Bazooka bubblegum once when I was wee little, and 10 years later I went back and paid the guy like 2 cents. But the more we obey God's rule, the more we do it because we love Him, the easier His commands get. They're not hard. And as we grow, they become easier and easier. Why should I love God that much? This is great. 2 Corinthians 5:14. You know this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. This is awesome. Why should I love God? Because He first loved me. And because while I was still a sinner, He loved me. And because He gave me His righteous robe, so He looks at me, not according to the scale, but He looks at me, do I have the righteousness of God on, that He gave me free when I gave Him my sin. And if anybody would do that when I didn't deserve it, He deserves my respect, He deserves my fear, and when He asks me to do something, sure, God. If you want me to spend a day a week, that's great. If you want me to give instead of get, that's awesome. I believe you. And if you want me not to use your name in vain, I will do my best not to do it. If you want me to represent you well, I will do my best to represent you well. Because of what He did for me. And the last part of verse 21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I was a sinner, and He exchanged places with me. He became sin for me. And I became His righteousness. So I would think the least I can do. I think obedience to His command is the least that we can do to thank Him. The least that we can do is thank Him by obedience. It's not that hard. It is when we have practiced disobedience. But once you realize and taste and see that God's commands are good, it's like, wow, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I tithe before? Why didn't I clean up my language before? Why didn't I apologize before? Why didn't I stop gossiping before? Why didn't I stop stealing before? Why didn't I stop substance abuse before, or any kind of abuse that CR is going to be dealing with? Why didn't I do that before? Because now I understand the love of God. And we get to move up that scale when I love God. And when that happens, God's love just returned to us in double, triple, whatever fold. It just, I don't know. Romans 16:17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart. See, that's where the obedience comes from. Not from a pastor saying, you need to obey. Or, you need to obey. In my really spiritual voice. No, it comes from the heart. There, I sounded like Dory when I did that, didn't I? Doesn't she talk like that or something? Oh, she's speaking well. Okay, I'm sorry. But it comes from our heart. This is what's cool about the obedience to God. It's not because we have to. It's not because we're checked on it. No one's checking your scale. It's because, you know what? Who in the world deserves my obedience out of everybody in this world? Who has never sinned? Who has never let me down? Who is always there even though it doesn't feel like it? Wow. You've been set free. Romans 6:17. Obey from your heart the pattern of teaching. It has now claimed your allegiance. I like that. My allegiance is to God. You have been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's what obedience is, the thanks be to God. God, the way I thank God is, thank you, Lord. No. The way I thank God is I obey. That's the way your kids thank you, isn't it? You know that. Nothing greater than your kids' loyalty and your kids' allegiance and your kids' obedience. That is the greatest gift a child can give her parent, and it's no different between us and God. Not because they have to. I don't want to take out the trash, but I'm going to. And mumble, grumble the whole way, which I'm sure none of our kids ever did. I know I never did with my parents. But obedience from the heart. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the greatest thing. Death has been, this is why we thank God. Because to a believer in Christ, death has been swallowed up in victory. And we can say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We have so much to be thankful for as believers in Christ. So much thankfulness to give back to God through our obedience. Trust and obey. To give our obedience back to God. This morning, if you look at your scale and your brain, find yourself a little low on that obedience scale, understand something. You are still given the righteousness of God as a believer in Christ. God still views you. This doesn't affect your standing in eternity. But wouldn't it be nice to thank God, to be honestly in love with God enough to obey his commands more fully than I did last year? To take a step today, if you find yourself down at a 3 or 4, wouldn't it be interesting to move to a 5? Just in one area that you find yourself a little bit low on that we've talked about, in one of those areas. Where are you coming up short? When God tells you, listen, you're a little lacking in this area. If I have to evaluate your life, God say, you know, I see you as righteous, but if I look at your obedience and stuff, it could use a little improvement in this one area. Well, what's that one area that you could use a little improvement in? Not because God's going to point his finger at you and strike you down. No, because I love him. And so I want to be obedient. So God, please show me an area that I'm not obedient, because I want my joy to be more complete. I want to have more confidence before God. So discipline yourself out of reverence, respect, and allegiance for the King of Kings. Just discipline yourself to love God a little bit more through obedience to his commands. I think it's pretty cool. I got excited about this morning. Because when you're going over the Ten Commandments, it's really, you know. But it's like, I think they're really cool. Who doesn't want their joy to be made complete? Who in the world doesn't want to honor God and have their children blessed to the thousands of generations or hundreds or whatever he says in there? Let's love God more. God's looking for people who love him. You would do the same if you were God. God is looking for people who want to love him. And the want to love God is shown through obedience. Exactly like you and your family and everybody around you. So let's take a look at some areas where we're a little bit short. Let's all jump up a scale. Just one. One notch is fine for this year. If you want to go 2, we won't hold you back. Okay? You won't be disciplined. All right? And we're not going to give out little rewards and pins for higher on the scale. But let's love God a little bit more. Let's ask God to show you a place. God, I know you've probably pointed out an area or two of the things we went through. We are called to love you. We are commanded to love you, to love the Lord our God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. That's a number 10. And we can tell we're on that scale by looking at our obedience quotient. I pray that we might move up in one area, one degree, or more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.